Welcome to the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast, a ministry of the Wasatch Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church with Pastor Bernie Anderson. Our prayer is that what you hear will inspire, equip, and perhaps introduce you to a new walk with Jesus Christ.
Do you remember when you were young, when you were a kid? Maybe it was even around Christmas time. Maybe this time of the year, this season. And you heard these words from a parent, or both parents. Don't make me come down there. Or maybe it was something like this. Don't make me come over there. Did you ever hear those words? Did you ever hear those words from me? Maybe you said those words. If you have children, you have said those words. And essentially, this is the context. The context is that there was a conflict that was going on, but it was in another area. It was another place. And as a good parent would, you know, you didn't want to have to get up and go over and deal with the conflict firsthand. So you would initially send your words over. Take turns using the remote. Right? That's how you would deal with it. You'd send your words. You'd be across in another part of the house. You'd send your words. Take turns. You'd usually have to yell it because it was a long ways away. Or you would say, take turns. You'd say, give the other person a shot. You know, you'd essentially be saying with your words, work it out, solve the problems, deal with the issues between yourselves. That's how it would go down. That was generally the context when your parents would say those. And if things didn't go and get settled rather quickly, your parent would become incarnate in your room, right? Right? The words would become flesh. You follow me? This is biblical stuff, right? The parent, you know, the words would become flesh, and the parent would be there essentially saying, look, I am now here. We're going to resolve this on my terms. We're going to solve the problems. That's how we're going to deal with this. And eventually things got worked out. You know, whatever was the problem, whatever the issue was with your sibling or friend or cousin, they got resolved because mom or dad showed up in the flesh to deal with the problems. If nothing else, Christmas must remind us that the God of the universe had to come down here to deal with our problems. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh and He dwelt among us. We couldn't handle our own issues. We still can't handle our own problems. And so Jesus had to come and be incarnate. He had to take on flesh and come and deal with our stuff and deal with our issues. That's what Christmas should remind us of. In fact, I want to take you, we're in Isaiah chapter 9. We're in a series called The Gospel of Jesus. One of the key components and teachings of the gospel is the fact that God Himself came to this earth to help us with our issues and to help us with our problems. And I want you to notice here as we look at Isaiah 9, specifically verses 6 and 7. You can read along with me. Notice what it says here. It says, read it with me. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called what? Wonderful Counselor. Remember that. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So let me go back just for a second. Jesus came into this earth to deal with our issues and our problems. And the Bible says something really, really powerful and profound. It should give us all a great deal of hope. The good thing is, the type of God that came into the earth is that He is a wonderful counselor. Right? Because if He was a poor counselor, we wouldn't want Him. Right? When you have issues, when you have problems, do you go to the dude who's more whacked out than you are? You go to a good counselor, right? And there are people that are called counselor. If you're an attorney, they call you counselor because you give us advice on our legal problems and our legal issues. And the Bible is very, very powerful in that it speaks right to our issues and where we are today. So the Bible says that we have a wonderful counselor, which means that we have someone who is an expert in wisdom. He can deal with our issues. He can deal with our problems. He knows us intimately. That's why I believe it's the book of Psalms that says that God knew us when we were knit in our mother's womb. He knows us. He knows our problems. He's acquainted with our sufferings and with our stuff. He's acquainted with what we write on the cardboard testimonies. He knows our brokenness and our bruises. He knows the stuff that causes us pain. He's a wonderful counselor. If indeed the Bible teaches and God knew that we needed a counselor, as the Bible teaches here, what then is our issue? What then is our big problem? You say, well, I got lots of problems. Well, there's one really big one. There's a lot of really big ones maybe for you. But we get a hint of it in Isaiah, and I want you to look at verse 2 of chapter 9. This is really, really significant because, again, God speaks to us right where we are, and I love how the Bible does it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, The people who walked in darkness, go ahead and read it with me, 1, 2, 3. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Now this is really important. The land of the shadow of death. Our big issue is that we're afraid of the dark. We're afraid of the dark. Now let me take that a bit further. Let me illustrate with this. Now all of us at some point in our lives grew up, we were afraid of the dark. Amen? Go ahead and admit it. This is church, you can confess. Amen. I was afraid of the dark. I wouldn't want anyone to know that, really, especially when I was a kid, but I was afraid of the dark. But I had a dual problem. Thankfully, God deals with multiple issues in our lives. I was also a bedwetter. Amen. Can testify. So if you were afraid of the dark and you were a bedwetter, you had some serious issues because what would happen in the middle of the night, something would happen. You know, there should be showers of blessings so that the river would flow. And you'll wake up in the middle of the night and in the wintertime especially, it'd be cold. And you start shivering, but you were too afraid to get up because it's dark. And the distance between your bed and the bathroom down the hall so you can go take care of things was a long way. It was like a mile. It's like a mile. And it was dark. There was darkness between you, in the bed, cold, shivering, broken, weeping, and the bathroom, the promised land. All right? There was a long ways between the two, and it was cold, and it was dark, and it was scary. So you had a dual issue. You couldn't get up, you know. And my parents didn't believe in little night lights. Parents these days, again, night lights and stuff. My parents were like, suck it up, dude. You got to, you know, just go with it. So you had a double problem. But we're afraid of the darkness. And what the Bible describes, what Isaiah describes as the darkness, is this phrase right here. I put it in bold. It's the shadow of death. It's the shadow of death. In the context of the text, we talked a little bit about the history and so forth, but there's darkness, but there's this shadow of death that looms over God's people, and they are terrified of the darkness. And I would suggest to you, I would submit to you today that the same shadow of darkness sort of looms over each and every one of us today. That same shadow of death, if you will, still looms over people today. And that's what terrifies us. That's what has us fearful. That's what has us afraid. That's what drives us towards the issues and the problems that Jesus came to be our good counselor for. Stay with me. There's this shadow of darkness, this shadow of death that really makes us afraid. Now, it's interesting because in past generations, if you look at people who study the social sciences and they study people, sociologists and cultural anthropologists, they will say something about past generations and past civilizations. Past civilizations, past generations were not as deeply covered over by the shadow of death and darkness as the current generation. What do I mean? Past generations and past civilizations dealt more firsthand with death, right? If one of your relatives died back in the day, you had to take care of the body. You had to wrap them up. They generally died at home. You took care of them. You took them home. In today's modern culture, We don't come in contact with death as much. Death is this thing way out there. Even when you watch television, you see somebody die. In the back of your mind, you know, that's not real. That's an actor. They're going to get up. That's not real blood. That's, you know, you shouldn't be watching those kind of movies anyway. But anyway. We don't really, you know, so we're far removed from death. So the notion of death in particular is sort of downplay. But even more so, catch this. Past generations and past civilizations had a deeper sense of the reality of life beyond the grave than current civilizations, current generations. What do I mean? They did not view life in this current, life in this life now, to be the be-all, end-all. They saw it as simply a temporary thing. Even if you weren't a person of faith, you had in mind that when I die, there is something better beyond the grave. There is deeper fulfillment, there's greater love, there's going to be a deeper connection and meaning. Past civilizations, past generations. Fast forward to today's culture. We're further removed from death. We rarely come in contact with dead people. We don't even believe it when we see it. And when we do see it, it's quite traumatic for us. And we have lesser view of life beyond the grave. We don't have a hope beyond the grave in today's culture. You remember Hurricane Katrina? Hurricane Katrina was horrific. And the most horrific part about Hurricane Katrina was that we saw dead people laying in the streets and on the highways and stuff. That horrified us. We were outraged because now we're seeing death. This generation isn't used to that. We're not, death is that thing over there. Even if somebody dies, somebody else handles the body. We don't even have to show the body. We don't, you know, it's, you can be cremated. You never have to see, deal directly with death. Past generations, very up close and personal. But they had a deeper sense of life beyond the grave, and that's where they placed their hope. Here's a couple of quotes from a couple of guys I want you to read with me. Albert Camus. Read what he says. He says, especially the educated classes of Western civilization no longer are sure that there is anything after death. Today's culture, highly educated, technologically savvy. They got iPods and every kind of little device you can name. You have nice computers. You have all kinds of stuff. And basically what he's saying, there's classes of Western civilization no longer are sure that there's anything after death. But look at this, Ernest Becker, another commentator on current culture. He says, in all civilizations, sex, money, and politics have been important, but only in Western civilization is sex, money, and politics all important. You see the difference. Past civilizations, past generations said there's something better, more fulfilling beyond the grave. Current culture, current generations say, well, I got to live it up now. I got to get all the gusto I can. Right now is the time because I don't know what's happening after I'm 6 feet under. Wow. And so it is this darkness, it is this shadow of death that reigns over people currently today, that drives us to set up idols, that drives us to set up something that gives me fulfillment, something that makes sense now. I wrote it down in a different way, and I want you to I want you to hear this from me. This is how I wrote it. In other words, today's culture has more deeply embraced the notion that this is all we get, so we have to get all we can out of this life now. You don't want to miss anything. We're essentially saying that we're the first culture to believe that we have to cram all significance and happiness into this life because death looms and we've lost any sense of hope of life beyond the grave. But Christmas, but God incarnate in the flesh, little baby Jesus, who would grow into the man God, who would ultimately hang on a cross, who would ultimately be resurrected, is Savior God who came into the world. He's He's the baby Jesus that should give us hope, because a baby coming into the world says life, says future. We've had baby dedications the last 2 weeks in our church. We celebrate those. Why? Because it says you got a future. You got a hope, church. That family has a future. It has a hope. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. There is something beyond the grave that God has provided by coming into the darkness, by coming into the light. Here's the thing. Thankfully, there's that next phrase. I'm going to go back. Thankfully, there's that next phrase. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, verse 7, it says, he will reign on David's throne. Actually, let me back up a little bit more. It says that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. This is the cool thing. Mighty God. I want you to think about this word mighty in particular. The word mighty means, is in the Hebrew, is the word Gabor. Say that with me, Gabor. This is cool. The word Gabor basically means hero. Hero. So what Isaiah says is that there is a hero God that comes into the earth. There's a hero God that rescues us from death and dying. Wow. How does the good counselor, the wonderful counselor come into our world and rescue us and save us? What is the counsel that he gives? Basically, the counsel that the wonderful counselor gives is to trust the hero God with your life. Trust the hero God with your life. Place your faith in the hero God. Remember, this context is a context of battle. It's a context of political upheaval and war. Ahaz has taken things into his own hands. King Ahaz has taken things into his own hands. King of Judah, southern kingdom. And he said, I'm going to take things in my own hand and fight my own battle and trust in my own strength to give my own self salvation, to free myself from my oppressors. And what Isaiah comes in with is that, no. The government's going to be on his shoulders. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the hero God. He is the only one who can rescue you from your terror about the darkness of death. And it was the message that was appropriate back then for them. It's the same message for us today. Don't fall for the darkness, and don't live life in such a way that you're running scared, that you're trusting in everything else but the hero God. Don't make other things hero. Don't make other things hero. Don't make money, sex, politics hero. Trust in the God of the universe as hero God, who's come into the world. Because here's the deal. I fear that we've lost trust and faith in our hero. That's why we strive in the darkness. That's why we're running to and fro. That's why life is so hectic and so crazy. We're not heeding the voice of the wonderful counselor. Rather, we're trying to find that other savior, that other thing, that other hero. You remember what the drama was this past summer? It was LeBron James leaving Cleveland and going to Miami, to the Heat. That was all, it was all the drama. And he didn't make it any easier on himself, because he had a television special. He had a big television special and got everybody's attention. Everybody was all excited. I remember I was traveling at the time when the announcement was going to be made. I was sitting there like on the edge of my seat, and we're taxiing into the tarmac. I was like, it's almost time for the announcement. It's almost time. They called it the decision. It's almost time for the LeBron decision. So I run off the plane really quick, and I find one of those bars where they have the TV, and I stand outside, and I'm looking, and I got there right as he was saying, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. And I'll never forget, you know, watching that whole scene unfold. And a few months later, I was actually flying into Cleveland, and I was flying into Cleveland, and people on the plane were still talking. We're going to land in Cleveland. I wonder if LeBron's around. And, you know, everybody's making jokes about it. And then just recently, he went back to play his first game in Cleveland after being with the Heat for this season. It was all the drama. And all the fans were they had signs like, "We hate LeBron." Right? Remember that? And people, some of the fans, I saw him when he was introduced, they turned their backs to him like this. Why? They lost their hero, man. He's a homegrown boy. He's our guy. He's from Ohio. He's the one who's going to take us to the promised land of an NBA championship, and he has left us. And I can't stand him. I hate the thought of him. I don't even want to see him. I'll turn my back on him. Lost our hero. And some of us are the same way with the God that we serve. When I needed him most, it didn't seem like he was there. You've lost faith in the hero. Or worse yet, he's just simply a picture in a comic book. Or worse yet, he's just a picture of a little baby on the front of a greeting card. He's not real to you. He's just sort of out there. He's not real. And if he's not real, how can he rescue you? How can he speak to your issues? How can he rescue? How can he save you if he's not real? And you struggle deeply with that. And all I got to say to you this morning is, man, he is the hero. He is real. Christmas should remind us of the fact that it wasn't just this little baby. And sometimes we embrace God sentimentally, and it's so precious, nice little baby. God does wonderful things through little people, kind of. No, this is God. God became flesh. He became real. He was here. And he's with you in the darkness. He's with you in the shadow. And he brings light to you. And all he says is, believe in me. Isaiah wrote it, man. Gabor, he wrote it. He wrote, this is the real hero. Don't trust in anything else. Don't buy into any other junk of the junk that the world is passing off as the hero. Jesus is the hero. He is real. He came into this world to rescue you. Believe your hero. Trust him. Place your faith only in him, man. Place your faith only in him. I want to pray with you. I always pray at the end of my sermons. We're going to continue and sing a little bit more. But I want to pray with you. And I just want to pray. I want to invite you to pray. Just bow your head and close your eyes with me. And I want to invite you to pray and think about your life right now. Just very quietly as you meditate, as you have your eyes closed and head bowed. And I want to think about the places in your life that are dark and scary and you're afraid. And then I want you to say, just quietly, just sort of pray this prayer, God, I surrender. I give up. I want to place my faith and trust in the hero God, mighty God, wonderful counselor, not in me, not in myself. Father God, you are awesome and mighty and wonderful and good. And God, you must look down at us and just desire to draw close, and you do, and you come near us. And Father, this morning there may be those who have lost faith because they just can't grasp the notion that wonderful, mighty God would be interested in their little problems and their little issues and their little messed up world. God, I pray that you would reassure them that you are interested. That you want to be the hero of their lives. That they don't have to run scared in the shadow and the darkness of death that looms and go after everything that really means nothing, but that they can trust in Hero God. God, I pray your spirit would be upon them. I pray that you would bring them comfort. I pray that you would draw close right now, that they would indeed know that you are Emmanuel, God, with them in particular at this moment right now. And that we would live this season of Christmas reassured, even when we don't feel like it, reassured of the fact that you are indeed with us. And ultimately, God, as it was mentioned earlier before our prayer, there is a place that we will be with you throughout eternity. May we place our hope in that. May we store up for ourselves treasures there in heaven. May we surrender to you and sacrifice all those other things, placing our faith solely in thee. I thank you, God. We all pray this prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus, our Savior. And all the people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Wasatch Hills Church Podcast. For information about the Wasatch Hills Church, please visit us on the internet at www.wasatchhills.org. Or you may email Pastor Bernie Anderson at pastor@wasatchhills.org.